You are a slave to the one to whom you present yourself to obey. Sometimes, even as Christians, we present ourselves to obey the wrong things. And we get ourselves in bad habits and sometimes addictions, and that's what I'm talking about this morning. Addiction kills the body and the soul. And so it's a valuable lesson for all of us to see the things which are round about that are wrong and that are bad and evil and not good for us, and to stay away from those things. And when we're caught up in them, we need to know how to get out of them. And that's something we've all got to deal with from time to time. The difference between a habit and an addiction. You could go and read a lot about this, but let me just oversimplify it for just a moment. An addiction occurs when there is loss of control and freedom. It's when you do something because you feel that you have to do it. It's just not a habit. That it may be something, it's a routine, or it may be a custom. And if your routine is broken, or your custom is broken, or you don't do that thing when you may normally do it, it's not a big deal. Well, you may not like the fact that you didn't keep your habit, but I mean, it's not a big deal. It doesn't put you into some sort of great anxiety and does not cause some sort of physical withdrawal from something. But addiction is when there's loss of control, where you just have to do it, that you can't control yourself, that you're doing this thing, and whether it's a psychological or whether it's a physical addiction, you just have to do it, and that's where the addiction comes in. I want to have a note here very quickly. I'm not talking about obsessive behaviors from neurochemical disorders. In other words, where there may be a chemical situation in the brain that causes a disorder. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things where we can make a decision to do them or not to do them. And if we ever make the decision to do the wrong thing, how we get out of that habit or how we overcome that addiction, that's what I'm talking about this morning. First of all, I want us to notice that all addiction is sinful. Now, there is addiction that involves unlawful behaviors, and whether we're addicted to that behavior or those things or not is wrong. For example, to take an illegal drug is wrong, whether we do it one time and only one time, and there's no habit, there's no addiction, it's wrong, period. Others examples of this would be pornography, fornication, alcohol. To do it once, or it's a habit, or it's an addiction, it's all wrong, no matter what. But there's also lawful behaviors that can become addictive, and those are bad if they are an addiction. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's a typo on my PowerPoint. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says this: "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." In other words, in the area of lawful things, of the things that are all right to do, Paul says if it's all right with God to do, then that's perfectly fine. There are some other criteria he sets forth. For example, it must be profitable, it must edify. If it's going to hurt someone else or it's going to cause them to stumble, then we shouldn't do it anyway. But one of the criteria here on whether we can actually do one of these lawful things is that it cannot be a master over us. That it cannot be something that controls us. It cannot be something that we are addicted to. Now, let me give you some examples of that. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Food food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now let me give you an example. Food, from verse 13, can be addicting. We could have some compulsion toward eating and overeating, which is called gluttony. And there's nothing wrong with food, and there's nothing wrong with eating good food, but if it is an addiction to either food in general, to overeating, or an addiction to a certain kind of food, then it is wrong and it is a sin. Some examples of this may be coffee or chocolate or soft drinks or caffeine. And those are some things that people are addicted to. And it's nothing wrong with these things when they're used properly, but when they become an addiction, the addiction is sin, and we have to deal with that. Or we won't go to heaven. Some other things that could be all right in and of themselves, but if they're an addiction, then it's wrong. Video games, the internet, work, school, sports, recreation. There are some people who are addicted to these things. Being addicted to the internet, and it's a compulsion to sit in front of the computer for hours and hours and hours and hours and become a hermit in one's very own home because of this addiction. Some individuals, we call them workaholics. They're addicted to work. And it's not necessarily that they work a certain amount of hours, but it's that there is this control that they have to be working and they can't help themselves. And there's other things that are not done because of this. Some are addicted to school and to studying and just have this situation where they're just obsessed with getting certain grades and studying a certain amount of time and being involved in certain things, and there is this obsession about it, that they are controlled by it. These things are lawful and they're fine and there's nothing wrong with them, but if they become an addiction, that it has then become a sin. The addiction makes it sin. Good behavior becomes sinful behavior when it becomes an addiction. And as Christians, we're not to be addicted to anything. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is to have control over us. Turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 4. I want to look at an example here. Genesis chapter 4, and this is with Cain and Abel. And Cain had put Abel to death because Abel offered a sacrifice that was good in the eyes of God, and Cain had not done that. And he killed his brother. In verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." We have to master the things which we're involved in with our life. If it's sin, we have to be in control of it. We cannot let sin be in control of us. And the things that we use in this life that are lawful, that are good, that are righteous, that are holy, we still have to control those things in our life. Every single thing, no exception. You know, I've known some individuals who were so obsessed with studying the Bible, it cost them their family. Totally obsessed with it. I've known some gospel preachers or of some gospel preachers who were so obsessed with traveling about and preaching the gospel that they lost their family as a result of that. It doesn't matter what it is. If we have an obsession with it, if it has control over us, it is wrong. Now let's talk about avoiding these things. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to just point out some very basic principles that we're very familiar with, but I want to review them and I want to look at them. And in particular, I'm thinking of the young people who are dealing with some of these things of bad habits and perhaps some addictions for the very first time. And those things that they're dealing with may not be wrong in and of themselves, but they still have to deal with this. So I want to look at these very basic principles. First of all, if it is something that is wrong, sinful, we must avoid it completely. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "But examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good." Verse 22, "Abstain from every form of evil." So we must examine everything carefully. We must determine, is this right or wrong, good or evil? If it's wrong, if it's sin, if it's evil, we stay away from it and we stay far away from it. We don't even get close. Now let's go one step further. We must take the things that are in our life, everything from what we eat to where we go and what we do and what we do for recreation, everything, we must carefully look at it to make sure that it does not have control over us. Now let me tell you how to do that. Go without it for a while. Young people, go 2 or 3 days and don't go on IM. Go 2 or 3 days and don't check your email. Do that. You'll find out if you're addicted or obsessed with it. For me, I battle this, I don't know, I wouldn't call it an obsession, I wouldn't call it an addiction, but I've got to watch out because I'm getting in the habit of eating ice cream every night. There's nothing wrong with ice cream, right? But if you start doing it every night and all of a sudden, well, you put on 5 pounds and then you put on more than that and then you got to say, now wait a minute, something's wrong here. So we've got to carefully look at our lives. We've got to examine everything carefully. If it's wrong, stay away from it. Don't get close to it. Don't ever touch it. But if it's one of those good things we can use in our life, we have to make sure that we are controlling it and it is not controlling us. Adults, go without your coffee for a couple of days. See if you're obsessed with it, if you're addicted to coffee. I challenge you. And if you're afraid to do that, then you've already answered your question. You're addicted to it. And I like my coffee as much as everybody, and I've got to watch out and make sure I don't drink too much and all of that. And every once in a while, I'll go a day or two without it, and it doesn't bother me. Well, I'm okay. But if it bothers me, I get a headache, a physical addiction, that's what it's telling me. If I'm shaking, physical addiction, if I have some sort of anxiety, emotional addiction. So you got to watch these things. Test yourselves. Examine carefully. Abstain from every form of evil. Hold fast to the things that are good. Also, turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 9. Here we get to attitude. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." Now this is attitude. Abhor what is evil. Be utterly detested by evil. Hate it. Don't want anything to do with it. Don't want to be around it. Don't want to hear of it. Don't want to think about it. Don't want to be remotely close to it in any way. And the first question we have to ask ourselves, do we abhor evil? Do we hate it? Do we detest it? Or is there part of us that still loves it and we're wanting to get just as close to it as possible? So we got to make sure we have the right attitude. And how do we develop this attitude? Well, the first part of the verse in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. To truly love God and to truly love the Bible, the Word of God, the truth, and to truly love all the things that are good, Love there is agape, by the way, to have mental commitment. Have your mind made up. Then we must, therefore, abhor everything that is evil. And if we abhor evil, we're not afraid to test the things of the world, and we do want to abstain. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, like we read. We do want to abstain because of this attitude. Turn your Bibles with me over to the thought expressed in a song we sang before the lesson in the second verse about evil companions. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. And I know that you know it. And young people, I'm rather confident that you have this memorized, and I'm glad that you do. But I want you to see it in the Bible. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And it is a fact that we cannot stay away from all the evil that is in the world. We live in the world, and there is evil in the world. But the fact is also that we are guilty of subjecting ourselves too often to more of it than we really need to. And you know the ways that we do that. TV, internet, movies, music, places we choose to go, people we choose to be around. And again, we can't get out away from all of it, but we have to be very strict in making sure that we keep it out of our lives, or it will influence us to do the evil. And Paul says, do not be deceived, because Satan wants you to be deceived. Satan wants you to think that you are strong enough to go to this R-rated movie where they use the F word. It used to be it was rated R when it used the F word. Now it's PG-13. And that you can go there and you can listen to that and then walk out there and not think it. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. And I'm telling you, Satan has been successful in deceiving you, because this is the way it works. There has never been an alcoholic who didn't take the first drink. Don't take the first drink and you'll never be an alcoholic. Abstain from evil. Stay away from it. Stay far away from it. The thing is also true with anything along these lines. No one has ever been addicted to pornography, which is a rampant in our society today, who didn't look at the first dirty picture or dirty movie. We can't be addicted to something if we stay away from it. The same is true with illegal drugs and abuse of prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs, whatever it may be. Stay away from it. And let me make a suggestion to you. And I tease Beth about this, because I think we need to be on guard. If you ever say, I need a fill in the blank, you need to watch out. I need a soft drink right now. Well, wait a minute here. Do you really need a soft drink? Beth is jokingly, and I understand, she says, I need some chocolate. And I understand what she means. Now, wait a minute. If you really need some chocolate, if it's a need that you have to have it, look out. And I challenge you in your language to be very careful. If you ever say, I need a soft drink, chocolate, whatever it is, then what you're really saying is, I'm addicted to chocolate, I have to have it. I'm addicted to soft drinks, I have to have it. And so I don't use that language, not even jokingly, because it reflects something that's bad. Stay away from sinful behaviors, and they will not become addictions. Second of all, as you very well know, we must exercise self-control. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew 16, and these are things, all of which you know, and I'm aware of that, and I'm not not bringing these things up because you don't know them, but I'm reminding you and putting them within your remembrance this morning, especially within this context. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Listen to me very carefully. If you are not denying yourself of things that you desire, you're not a faithful Christian. It's that simple. We must deny ourselves of those things that are wrong. We must stay away from them, not even to think about them, and we must control those things within our life that are good and useful for us. And to do this, we must take up our cross. Take up our cross. My cross might be that I have to give up coffee because I'm addicted to it. It may be all right for everyone else. I'm just giving illustrations, not literal. It may be all right for everyone else in this audience to drink coffee because you're not addicted to it, but I have driven myself to an addiction and I have to stop drinking coffee, at least to get it where it's not an addiction anymore, or I'm going to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? You mean you can go to hell for drinking coffee? Yes, if I'm addicted to it, I can. That's what we've seen already. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. I want us all to realize that controlling ourselves is a very basic principle of New Testament Christianity. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. And here Paul has been preaching with his sermon to Felix. And in verse 25, "But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come," let me ask you this. Teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unbeliever, would you have those three things grouped together? Righteousness and judgment, perhaps, but self-control, would that be the third leg of the stool? It has to be. Because we must control ourselves. To even repent, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, there takes control, and we must control ourselves. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. How do we do this? We do this by changing our mind. When we have the correct mindset, when we have the correct thoughts about it, then outwardly, the physical changes. And we'll talk about having strength to do that in just a second. But Matthew chapter 15, and beginning in verse 17, this is Jesus. "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." So what do we have to do? We have to control our mind. And when we control our mind, we can control the physical. Now I'll give you an illustration. And you know, I've got to give you illustrations with things I deal with and things I struggle with. And that's all that I can do. I have had a problem with weight and eating too much all of my life. When I was in sixth grade, I was 150 pounds. And I went to the doctor, put on medication to try to help curb my appetite and all these things like this. Struggled with it. Got it under control in high school. A little bit later, it started to get out of control again. And so I challenged myself that it was a matter of mental willpower as to what I ate and how much I ate. And I put myself to the test. Are you mentally strong or not? And I struggle with it every day. every day. It is the control of our mind over everything that is physical. Every single thing. We must control our mind to control our body. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, Paul gives an illustration of this. And he uses an athlete and I like this illustration because I think all of us can relate to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Get that? And we look at athletes who are the best in their field, and you look at those who are in the Olympics, and there is no way they can compete on that level if they do not exercise self-control in everything. You know, and I love seeing it because it's an inspiration to me to see especially the young girls that do the ice skating or the ones that do the gymnastics. And it'll do have a little thing about their life and the commitment that they've had to make in their life, and they're up at like 4 o'clock in the morning while all their friends or schoolmates are in bed, and they're working hard and they're going through all of this and they're going to school, and then they've got to train more and they have to control themselves with their diet and they have to exercise, and just the list goes on and on and on and on, and they have to control themselves in every respect. Now, Paul uses this as an illustration because it very well shows this fact that we as Christians must exercise self-control in every aspect of life. Because the moment we don't, it's going to overtake us and it's going to control us. Now, how do we do this? Well, we could talk a long time about this, but let me just mention a few things. Galatians chapter 5, if you will turn over there with me. And I have decided for this lesson to approach it from this angle, and it is walking by the Spirit. If we are walking by the Spirit, we will not have bad habits. By the way, good habits are good. We see in the Bible that that even the Apostle Paul, you know, had traditions and customs and habits. He would go into a particular city and he would preach there to the Jews for 3 Sabbaths straight. That was his custom. That was his habit. He did it from place to place to place. Habits are good things. We see in 2 Thessalonians 3, we must keep the traditions of the apostles, and those are habits. We do the Lord's Supper is a habit to do it every first day of the week. Good thing. But if we're walking by the Spirit, we will not have bad habits and we will have no addictions in our life. Let's begin in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, the desire of the flesh is to have bad habits and addictions. You're not going to have that. Verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, we have to realize here, there is this struggle, there is this battle that's going on. And I suspect every one of us here have it in some aspect in life. There is a struggle between the Spirit and the flesh. And we must keep fighting this spiritual battle, or the flesh is going to overtake us and sin, bad habits, and addictions. Let's go on. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, let's pause here for a second. And we could go to lots of other passages and learn what it means to be led by the Spirit through whom God delivered the Word to the apostles that wrote them in the Bible, the Word of God, and we have today. And when we live that way, we're being led by the Spirit. It's not something mystical. It's not some supernatural spirituality. It is doing what God has taught us to do and living the way God has taught us to live in the Bible. Now let's go on. Verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And just to make sure that we catch everything else, Paul says, and things like these. He gives a few examples and says, everything else. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Listen to me. If we do not control ourselves, we are living in sin. Serious. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So get this. As a Christian, I've crucified the flesh. Paul says it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Why? Chapter 2, verse 20. Because he had been crucified with Christ. Therefore, as a Christian, these desires of the flesh are meaningless to us. With our mind, we overcome them and we conquer them and we control them. They do not control us. And if they are controlling us, sin exists in our life. We need to repent, make correction, and do those things which are necessary to take control of our life. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, this passage we could talk about for a very long time, but I'm just going to mention it very briefly. When we do this, when we are walking by the Spirit, the power of God's Word is effectual in our life. Paul tells us that the gospel is the power unto salvation. Now, that doesn't mean just being baptized. That means in every respect of being saved. Yes, indeed, it's to obey the gospel, to believe and to repent and to confess Christ and to be baptized, and it's also to overcome bad habits and addictions. Where's the power? The power is in the Word of God. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through what? The true knowledge. I want you to remember that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul is talking about taking off the old man, putting on the new man, and that is done through knowledge. Knowledge of what? God's Word. Get in the Word, study it, learn it, and it will, as the Apostle Paul says, perform its work in you who believe, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Continue on, though, in 1 Peter chapter 2. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. And let me tell you something. God is not addicted to anything, and He has no bad habits. And if we're partakers of the divine nature, we're not going to have bad habits, and we're not going to have any addictions. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world, by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. Now let me pause here for a second. We've talked about this scripture in great length not that long ago. Diligence has to be part of this. And he mentions diligence here, and he mentions it just a little bit later in verse 2. Be all the more diligent to make certain or make sure. So we have to be diligent. We can't just be casual about this. We can't be lackadaisical. We can't be apathetic. We can't be lazy. We have to be diligent. And if we do this, we will overcome the bad habits and addictions that may exist in our life. And you'll remember the things that he says here. In your faith, supply moral excellence or virtue. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. There's knowledge. The Word of God. And in your knowledge, self-control. There's self-control. Notice, self-control comes after knowledge. Until we're into the Word of God, empowered by it, we can't control ourselves. And then brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. Now let me tell you something real quick. Having bad habits and addictions render us unfruitful. But if we're applying these things and we're diligent, even if we get caught up in these things, which occasionally happens, I think everybody here will say they've occasionally got into bad habits, we can overcome them and get out of it by the power of God and His Word. Turn your Bible back just a page or whatever it is for you to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. When we walk by the Spirit, we have the power effectual in our life from the Word of God and also from prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, "For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Translation for this lesson: walk by the Spirit and God will hear your prayers and answer your prayers. His face and His goodness will be upon you. But do not walk according to the Spirit, and He won't even look at you. Walking by the Spirit, the effectiveness of the Word of God and its power in our lives, and prayer in our lives. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." And when we have that, there is absolutely nothing we cannot overcome. Do you believe it? I know that you do. And then what we need to do is we need to put it into work in our lives. And again, I'm sure everybody here struggles with something. We need to put it into work in our lives, believing it. And we will be stronger than anything else of the flesh. Even eating a bowl of ice cream every night. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. We can overcome it through the power of God. Walk by the Spirit, empowered by His Word, with the power of prayer. Addiction kills the body and also the soul. I encourage you tonight. It's not night yet, so I'll encourage you this morning. I'll encourage you this morning to look at your life. And you know, it may be something you need to change. It may not be a bad habit. It may not be an addiction. It's just something you need to change to take the next step in your relationship with God or in your walk of life as a Christian. It all works the same way. It all works the same way. And so I invite you to look at your life once again this morning and see the things that you've been working on and the things that you need to change, and to be encouraged that God will give you the help and give you the strength as you walk by the Spirit, as you are into His Word and as you are learning and increasing in His Word and you are diligently praying in your life, and He will give you the strength to make those changes, to become a better Christian, to overcome any bad habits you may have. And if you have an addiction, to overcome that too. God gives you the strength. And it's not a matter of can, I do it. It's a matter of will I do it. And so I encourage you today to say, I will do it. By the power of God and to His glory, I will do it. And you know what will happen? You'll do it. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Let's extend the gospel invitation, number 307, Tommy selected. Number 307, are you washed in the blood? And that's the power to change our lives right there. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can be washed in the blood and you can begin to have this strength from God that you have as you begin your walk as a Christian by the Spirit, empowered by His Word and by prayer in your life. And you know the gospel message, I was thinking the other day, you know, if I've been preaching for 2,000 years, I'd be preaching the same simple message. Just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. That's a change. Change your mind right now today. Change your mind. I'm going to change. That will bring about a physical change. Change your mind to do the right and not the wrong. To confess your faith, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized. Wash in the blood of the Lamb. Today, we'll do that. And you'll be a Christian. If we can help you at all, won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.